The SME Clinic, brought to you in association with Zenadyn, your accountancy experts in supporting local businesses to grow.
And I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Sean O'Rourke, who is a partner at Zenadyn. Sean, you're very welcome back to the show and thanks for joining me in studio.
Good evening, Amber. Delighted to be back. Thank you.
Delighted to have you here again. So we're going to be talking about revenue audits and interventions for SME owners as well. So I suppose to start off, Sean, how does revenue decide which businesses to audit? And is there anything maybe that SME owners can do to minimise the chances then of being audited?
Yeah, it's a bit of a scary topic, Amber. Anyone who owns a business, you know, the term revenue audit is scary for them. But look, I suppose what I'm here this evening to talk about is to give them a bit of information and background and, you know, try and take out the fear of the unknown as such, you know. So how does revenue decide which businesses to audit? I suppose the important thing to look at from the beginning would be to think about the self-assessment system. So that's how things work in Ireland. You've all heard of the self-assessment deadline, but basically every business owner, they compute their own taxes and they submit their own return. Mm-hmm. So on that basis, then revenue accept the figures. But based on the trust system, there has to be a system of checks and balances, you know, where revenue then will, you know, they will query certain figures and then it can lead to revenue interventions and revenue audits. So that's the basis of the system, is that it's to have a system where revenue can check and have confidence that the figures that's being reported to them are correct. In terms of which businesses get audited, nowadays it's very much a risk-based assessment that revenue carry out. And in the olden days, there was an element of, random audits and also maybe revenue acting on the basis of information that they've received. And that still does happen to a small extent, but the vast majority of revenue audits are done on a risk basis. So, to give people a flavour of the amount of audits, revenue produced their annual report there a couple of weeks ago for 2025. So they said that they've carried out 290,000 audits and interventions in the year. So that's kind of a scary figure. And now it's not easy to tell, but about 160,000 of those would have been for PoE workers. So it wouldn't have affected businesses, but it still leaves about 130,000 businesses that had interaction with revenue. And the CSO say that there was about 400,000 active employers in Ireland in 2025. So that's roughly about a 30% ratio, you know. So on any given year, there's a kind of 30% chance of revenue being in touch with you. So then I suppose if we're talking about what business owners can do to minimise the risk of being audited. So there's some very straightforward things that are kind of simple, but it's important to point out. So filing the returns on time, that's an easy one. You know, most returns are due by the 23rd of the month. Don't file it on the 24th, you know, because, and, you know, technically a late return adds to your risk profile. Pay on time always if you can. That reduces your risk profile. There's informational returns out there that some, you know, business owners and bookkeepers think that they're not as important because there isn't a liability going with them. But things like the VAT return of trading details, so that's an informational return. It needs to be filed. Not filing that will raise your risk profile. Things like there's a 46G return or a VEAS returns or interest stat returns. All those returns, if they're not filed, just adds to the risk profile of a business. It's worth thinking about VAT as well. The VAT tends to be where we would see most interactions from revenue compared to, say, income tax or corporation tax or payroll. So technical things like when you're filing your VAT return, enter your EU purchases boxes. So that would be a thing. Generally, it doesn't affect your VAT liability, but if you're not disclosing purchases you've had from the EU, that can lead to an increase in your risk profile because it's not matching what revenue would expect to see in the area of construction. So there's RCT, there's a technical thing there called reverse charge. So the principal contractors have to treat the costs from their subcontractors in a technical way in the VAT return. Again, people don't think it's that important because it doesn't affect your liability, but these figures do affect how revenue interpret the return, so it's important to get them right. And the other thing then would be if there's something unusual in your VAT period, for example, that you've bought a large piece of equipment or a motor vehicle and you might have a VAT refund that period and generally you'd have a liability, there is a box on your VAT return to disclose that fact and upload the invoice along with it. So you can kind of almost answer revenue's query before they ask it by putting that information in. The other thing I think is important to minimise the risk is you're matching what happened during the year from a payroll point of view with your year-end tax return. So for example, it's something in Zenadyn we would always do. So if you're processing payroll for the year, you might have paid your staff 100,000. When you're doing your year-end accounts that you're submitting to revenue, but it can be 6 or 7 months later, it's important to make sure that the wages figure matches is what's gone through in payroll. So checking those sort of things in advance is important. And also any queries revenue may send out during the year, it's important to answer them on time as well, you know.
Absolutely. There's a lot to take in there, in fairness. Are there different types maybe, or what types of revenue audits are there maybe, and would they always involve, Sean, a visit to the business premises?
Yeah, Amber, there are different levels of revenue audits and interventions. I think it's important to say as well that not all contact with revenue is an actual audit itself. So revenue use the term interventions a lot more. I suppose it's a less of a maybe a hostile word than an audit, and it can be just something like a query, you know. So there's three types of these interventions and audits, and it works a bit like a traffic light system. So you've got green, amber and red. So on the green is level one, which is where revenue say it's to support compliance. So that would be a query that comes in from revenue, maybe to a group of taxpayers. So they might have identified an issue with a particular type of industry where maybe mistakes were being made. Revenue could send out a bulk letter to taxpayers asking them to review their own maybe returns and see if they need to make a correction. It's important to note that at level one, you have the opportunity to make an unprompted voluntary disclosure at that point. So if you do find something, it's as if you're putting up your hand yourself. So it's a very kind of low-level interaction with revenue and taxpayers. And it's important to remember that you have that opportunity, that if you find something, you can correct it by making a voluntary disclosure. Level two then, moving to amber on our traffic light list, is what revenue call challenging non-compliance. So at this point, if you receive a level two intervention, you no longer have the opportunity to make an unprompted voluntary disclosure. But you do have the opportunity to make a prompted one. So before the audit commences, you can choose to make a disclosure to revenue at that point, and it'll reduce your interest and penalties. I'll speak about the interest and penalties a little bit later. But level two is a little bit more serious, but with prompt action and with honest disclosure to revenue, you generally will get through that quite well, you know, and have a good idea of where it goes from the outset. You're not really entering into the unknown. Level three then, which is the red light on the traffic light, that's nobody really wants to be there. That's generally for taxpayers who haven't engaged at level one or level two. They've left things drag, they haven't replied to revenue, and at that point the most important thing to note is you don't have the opportunity to make a voluntary disclosure. So anything that you know, revenue find, you're paying the high level of interest and penalties, and you run the risk of being published in the quarterly list of tax defaulters, which is, you know, it's an awful thing to happen to a business. So the key would be is to never let things get to that level three. You know, you're engaging with revenue, and the worst is you keep it at a level two, and you know, you engage honestly with them. You asked Amber about, does it involve a premises visit? Generally speaking, they're uncommon nowadays. You know, I suppose I'm in accounting nearly 20 years, and it would be very normal years gone by that revenue would come to your premises. But in these modern times, an awful lot of it is done digitally. Revenue do what they call desk audits or desk interventions, so you're sending information digitally to them. They have the right to come to your premises, or indeed a taxpayer has the right to request to meet revenue as well. Sometimes, you know, during a revenue audit, people might find it easier to have a face-to-face meeting with an inspector and having their accountant present. So that's an important thing to consider as well.
Absolutely, yeah, that's very interesting. When we talk about a revenue audit, is there any areas maybe of particular focus during one of these?
Yeah, Amber, there's what I'd call the old reliables, and you know, any accountants or bookkeepers listening to me, you know, part of our work is to, you know, every month or so you are involved in a revenue audit. So it's no surprise right up there at the top would be anything to do with motor vehicles and expenses and travel expenses to employees or to directors, you know. So what I'd say is just make sure that you have backup for all the travel expenses that are being paid out from the business. You know, that's an area that revenue will ask for in the first hour of every revenue audit interview. It's travel expenses comes up. Do an inventory of all the motor vehicles that are owned in the business. Is benefit in kind being paid on them? Do you know, so where there's personal use of motor vehicles, it may be, for example, there's company cars there, or you have, like a lot of businesses would have, company vans. You know, if there's an element, like for example, employees maybe taking vans home at the weekends or at evening time, if there's a personal element, then BIK, benefit in kind, should be calculated on that. Mm-hmm. Watch out as well for something that comes up an awful lot, is the difference between subcontractors and employees. So, you know, revenue do take a pretty strict interpretation on, as the expression is, you know, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck and quacks like a duck. So if the person coming into your business premises is coming in regularly, if you're, you know, directing the work that they do, and if they're not really working for anybody else, they're probably an employee and should be on the payroll rather than a subcontractor. So they would be common things. The other thing for those owners of companies as well, there's a lot of queries around directors' loans. So there was always a temptation of business owners to, you know, take some money from the company account and say, look, I'll pay that back now before the end of the year, or I'll, at some point I'll pay it back and it doesn't get paid, there's benefit in kind to be paid on that, and there's other reporting obligations. So director's loans would always be an area that would be a concern during an audit. And finally, it's one that I mentioned earlier, VAT tends to be a popular, for want of a better word, a popular area during revenue audits. Be careful that you're charging the correct rate of VAT, you know, as well, because VAT is a tax that's based on your turnover, not your profits. So, you know, you could be a pretty small business, but you're not making a lot of profit, but your turnover could lead to a significant VAT liability. So are you charging the right rate of VAT would be another thing that comes up during the audits.
Okay, lots to think about there as well. I suppose if a business is listening maybe at the moment, Sean, and they get that notification letter from Revenue, what should they do next?
Yeah, Amber, the main thing is don't ignore it. Don't put it on the long finger. Don't say, look, it's a Tuesday morning. Look, I'll ring the accountant next week, you know. You really should speak with your accountant, you know, quite soon after getting it. And yes, Revenue do copy the accountant in on those letters, but you never know, that letter could be sitting on a reception desk or something inside in your accountant's office. I would always make early contact with the accountant. So I mentioned earlier about a voluntary disclosure. There's an important clock that starts ticking the day that Revenue you date that letter, the notification of an audit. You only have 21 days to let them know that you're going to make a voluntary disclosure, if that is your wish, you know. And as I outlined earlier, a voluntary disclosure is so important in terms of mitigating the penalties that you would pay. So act fast. Talk to your accountant. Sometimes if it's quite a technical area, you may need to engage a tax consultant. Now here at Zenedine, we're lucky, we have in-house tax consultants that we can, you know, speak to at short notice. They're only a phone call away. Other accountants may not have that, so it might take time to engage a consultant. So again, time is of the essence. Deal with this quickly when you become aware of the letter. The other thing to bear in mind is that Revenue, in fairness, will always detail a time period and the tax head that they are looking at, you know. So some business or might think that, oh, if I have a revenue audit, are they going to look at absolutely everything? How do I get my records together? Generally speaking, they will say that we're looking at, say, payroll, and we're looking at it in the last quarter of 2025. So you've a narrow enough window to look at during a revenue audit. But the important thing is to act fast, because as I mentioned earlier about the interest and the penalty. So if you are making a voluntary disclosure before the revenue commences, you're looking at something between the interest rates of between 3% and 10%. If you decide not to make a voluntary disclosure and Revenue uncover something in the audit, you're looking at something of 50%, you know, and publication of your name in the tax defaulters list every quarter. So it is very important to, you know, take that 3-week period, which isn't a long time, when you get your revenue letter, have discussed it with your accountants and see is there something that I should be disclosing at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great advice there. Just before we finish up as well, I wanted to ask you this, because you mentioned the voluntary disclosure mechanism. What advice maybe would you give to a business owner who might want to make a disclosure and a settlement, Sean?
Yeah, so again, Amber, I'm assuming this might be a business owner that hasn't got a revenue letter. So for example, you're in the land then of an unprompted voluntary disclosure, which is a favourable place to be, because you're the person going to Revenue. So generally speaking, you know, for things like, you know, honest mistakes and maybe an interpretation of the rules in a logical way that just mightn't be correct. If you're making an unprompted voluntary disclosure, generally speaking, the penalty rate is about 10%, you know, which is quite favourable. So there is a lot to be said for, if you're uncovering something, if you're uncomfortable, that you do make that, you know, unprompted voluntary disclosure. The other thing that I'd say is, you know, if there is something on your mind, maybe you might have received a gift or an inheritance or sold some assets that you haven't declared in the past, or meant to declare, but you know, but the passage of time you forgot. Speak to your accountant, you know, and also if it's a sensitive matter, you can always speak to an independent accountant. You know, a lot of business owners, they might have neighbours or family members who are their accountants. So it's, you know, it can be difficult to speak to someone in that regard, but it's always quite possible to book an appointment with an independent accountant, have a chat. And sometimes it's like the fear of the unknown, you know, so you might be exaggerating in your own head that you owe, you know, tens of thousands. But really, if you have the chat and you try and ascertain what is the actual liability and the probable interest and penalties, the figure, once you have a figure, it's a lot easier to deal with it. You're not in the unknown anymore. Don't be afraid to maybe book an appointment with an independent accountant and have a conversation about what can be done.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's great advice. And you've gone through loads there as well, which has been very helpful. But Sean, thanks so much for joining me on the show again for the SME Clinic this month. And we'll talk to you again next month, no doubt.
My pleasure, Amber. Thanks for having me.
And I just want to mention as well that next month on the SME Clinic, we're going to be answering your queries. So if there's something that you'd like to put to the experts at Zeniden, then you can email them to me. So send them to inbusiness@radiokerry.ie. And do that, please, before the 12th of June, because we want to get them in nice and early and send them over to Sean, who'll be joining us next month for that Q&A session. So if there's something pressing on your mind that you'd like to get out there, now is the chance and get an answer from the experts at Zeniden.
The SME Clinic, brought to you in association with Zeniden, your accountancy experts in supporting local businesses to grow.